This episode is brought to you by Libsyn. Planning to start a podcast? Look no further than Libsyn. Libsyn is one of the biggest feature-rich podcast hosting platforms in the world. Libsyn is IAB certified, offers many hosting plans, and you can start for as low as $5 a month. Aspiring podcasters who listen to the show radio can get 1 month free by using the promo code TSR. Use promo code TSR at checkout to get 1 month free. Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the show radio. This episode 666 of the show. I'm your host, Andrew, and Daniela is traveling. And with me today is Aaron Shack. What's up, Aaron? We'll get right into it. How are you, man? What's going on?
Dude, I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me back. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk about gaming with you.
Of course, 100%. And we're going to jump right into Lawbreakers. So we're excited about Lawbreakers 6 years ago. It seems like so long since the last time, right?
Yeah, right? Because Overwatch was like brand new in that time. Overwatch and Battleborn. Do you remember Battleborn? Lawbreakers. Yeah. There were a couple of games that were kind of all in this similar genre, and only one emerged superior, I guess, or was able to monetize.
I cannot believe that we're at a place now where we can potentially play this again. So I have an issue that I wanted to share with you though, in regards to this, because as excited as I am for Lawbreakers, so we can actually just read a little bit about it here. So Lawbreakers, the former Gears of War designer has been promoting the new launcher on X, a Lawbreakers 2.0 fan project, makes Cliff Bleszinski's dead FPS playable again after 6 years. But there's an issue. So I'm going to ask you, have you checked it out at all?
No,
were you able
haven't.
To check it out at all?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. And so I'm holding out hope for it. I'm definitely holding out hope for it, but there's an issue that I'm having right now. So I want to show you what the issue is, right? So when I go to Lawbreakers, you know, this particular website, this website has a download that you're supposed to grab, which is the launcher. And then it gives you the installation on what to do to get to a place where you can actually enjoy this. This game was great. I don't know. I haven't met anyone that didn't like the game. I think the main issue that we're having with the game is lack of players, right?
Yeah.
The gravity stuff was cool. So I don't think necessarily we had an issue with the game itself other than user base, right? So I got excited. I went to this website. I'm like, finally, we'll get a chance to revisit it. When I click here, nothing happens. I can't click on it, man.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's
so,
not a good start. But I mean, I've seen people playing it, so it's gotta work. It's gotta be a technical issue or something.
I hope so, man.
I hope so,
because I'm really excited because I really want to check it out. But what do you remember anything from Lawbreakers? Like, you know, any fond memories? You know, did you have any dope battles?
Yeah.
What's your?
I did. There's probably still videos on the channel. But yeah, dude, like, you know, the gravity stuff, the fast paced combat, it's a little faster than Overwatch. So it differentiates itself in some ways. And it's got sort of that cyberpunky looking theme to it, which is unique and different. So, I mean, it's different enough that these two things can coexist, right? We know of a lot of character shooters, Valorant's out there now. There's all sorts of games that are using the same archetype, and they're allowed to exist, and they don't have to like beat the other into submission and completely, you know, destroy that game from the universe. I'm really happy to see this coming back, and I wish it the best, and I hope pretty soon we can get on it. And
do you think it's one that you're definitely going to spend a little bit more time on, since you haven't necessarily seen it in a long time? I mean, I want to, right?
Yeah, dude, I have so much nostalgia for it. And maybe that's part of it, is that it was gone and now it's back. And now Overwatch is in kind of a reduced capacity right now, where they're not boxing at their highest weight class. So this game has a chance to be welcomed into the scene by people that are kind of like exhausted by how Overwatch has been handling things. You know, new players can come into this and be excited about it. So I don't know. Maybe its absence makes the heart grow fonder. But it was just such a fun game for its time. And even back then, it felt underrated. And, you know, Cliffy B was always trying new projects after Gears, you know, just trying to see what would land. And he was running his own studio and dropping all these different games, and nothing
even
seemed
the bicycle
to take,
one he
really
had at one point, right?
That
remember
from.
That one?
Was that the,
yeah, something like that? Yeah,
Radical
yeah, yeah.
Heights, you remember?
Oh, yeah,
that?
With the bicycles.
Is that a different one? Okay, it's 1980s, cel shaded.
Yeah, with the bikes. Yeah,
Battle
yeah.
Royale with the bicycles. Yeah. Yeah, I played a little bit of yeah. that. Radical Heights was crazy, man. But, you know, it got oversaturated in the Battle Royale markets. Another game competing with Fortnite, very obviously. And, you know, as interesting and cool as it was, it doesn't have the fidelity that a game like Fortnite has. So wasn't able to really stand the test of time. So, you know, it's always cool to see people like him and these other guys, you know, like Marcus Lado and stuff that have, they've made iconic games that we forever. Will love and talk about forever. And we're always watching them to see like, hey, what are they going to do next? What studio is he at? What type of game is he making? We're always going to keep an eye on what they're doing. So anytime we get to see one of their projects,
yeah,
I'm always going to be curious.
The thing I was thinking about when you were talking about like, you know, some shooters coming back. So what do you think is going to happen when the Marvels one come out?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're playing with different, you know, titles now because Marvel is introducing Rivals, right? And that should be exciting for the scene since mm-hmm. Overwatch has been on a slump and they recently canceled the thing that they canceled. So any thoughts on that? Because I know we haven't had a chance to talk about that because there's a big gap that needs to be filled when it comes to, you know, this genre of, you know, of play. Of course, you know, I'm a super fan. I believe I'll say it, you know, of Paladins, you know, I'll say it, super fan, right? But there's other titles that are out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you say about that? You know, with the stuff that we have.
I'll second Paladins, man. It's a great game and we always have fun with it. So I'm excited to get back into that. But when it comes to Rivals, I think it's different enough to be allowed as well. It does sort of have a similar art style. It's got sort of this anime, you know, comic booky looking aspect to it. And it has almost like a Japanese design to its look. So it's already something different and new. And it's not using guns in the way that Overwatch and Valorant and all these other games, you know, they're all just shooters at their core. This one is literally just superheroes brawling. So whatever their powers are, if Iron Man's got lasers and missiles, then that's what he has. And if, you know, Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk and starts punching people, like, that's going to
be
wild.
So
it's going to be so much fun. And if they do the same thing that Overwatch does and they drop characters, you know, every so often, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to have a blast with it. So hopefully it ends up being great.
I got
my hopes up for that one. It's not my genre.
I do believe it's
going to
be great. I really do believe it's going to be great. So next one that we have here is this one here. You brought this up. Okay. So former Blizzard boss Mike Ibarra. I would like to tip developers, and it says here, I know $70 is already a lot, but some games are that special. So what's your take on here? This is, you know, you wanted to bring this up. You wanted to bring this to the table. So here we are. So talk to us about this particular situation. So they're making the games. They're getting paid to make the games. They have potentially a salary or depending on the contract for the game. And I want to hear your thoughts about bringing this to the table. What's your take here?
I need to know yours too, but I think it's interesting. The reason why I wanted to bring it up is because instantly gaming press everywhere was like, let's bash this guy into oblivion. Cause like, this is ridiculous. You know, we should just pay developers better. Cause I mean, if you implement a tipping system, it's going to go to the CEOs and whatever, you know, like that money's only going to funnel up to the top. It's not going to rain down on the lessers here, which end up doing most of the work and they're in charge of all the artistic decisions and stuff. I think is that he's well intentioned. Like he thinks like, oh, this would be like in a perfect world, a nice idea of like, wow, if you really enjoyed a game, like a chance to further compensate the developers. And if it were to be able to magically only be able to go to the people, like even if they leave the studio, like they get like a royalty check in the mail, right? Like, that would be really cool. So that's how I replied to it when I saw it on Twitter. I was like, you know, I get your intentions are pure and you probably mean this in like a really nice way. And I think typically what I do is like, if I really enjoy a game, I'll buy it for a friend, whether it's on sale, whether it's full price, if I can afford to do so, you know, or I'll tell friends about it or I'll make a video about it. There's a tons of ways that you can evangelize a video game that you really enjoy and get other people into it, which in turn ends up supporting the developers without having to fork over a bunch of cash or necessarily implement a tipping system, which, you know, the same thing happens with your server at a restaurant. Like, sometimes those tips go right to the person, or sometimes the busboy grabs them all and stuffs it in his pocket, or sometimes it has to be input into the system and then the manager, you know, either takes his cut or whatever, and then he sprinkles it on down the chain, and usually the busboy gets like the least amount of tip out of all of them. So it's not gonna work in a real world context to tip. So I think the idea is nice. It's noble in a way, but the implementation by our industry, there's just too much politics and stuff that will happen there that it's just going to be taken advantage of. So it's a nice idea, but I don't think we should slam on him super hard for it, because I think he had good intentions. If he didn't, it might have been more obvious. He'd be like, I wish I had gotten tipped, you know. I wish they could have given me more money as the boss.
Yeah, you have more on that?
I don't know. No, I think
So it says here, let me just go up here. While acknowledging that most will dislike the idea, Ibarra says that when he beats a game, he has often thought, I wish I could give these folks another $10 or $20 because it was worth more than my initial $70. I'm not against anybody getting paid. I think that's where I stand with that. If there's a way to compensate for an experience that you've enjoyed that is not necessarily directly tied to a DLC, I don't see why we can't do that, right? If they have a system in place, and sometimes it's not going to be, you know, from, you know, the publisher or the developer side for that particular system, it's probably going to be like a Ko-fi or something else, right? If you really want, you see what I'm saying? So if you really
Yeah, that's good
what I'm saying. So if you really want to, you know, tip the developer for something that you experienced and you really enjoyed, then if they have those platforms set aside, you know, especially if you can put it on a link tree and all the different type of trees that we do, for all our links and the things that we're doing, I don't see anything wrong with that. I really don't see anything wrong with that. And maybe I'm just, I don't know if that's premature. I mean, I think that's fair. You know, any additional thoughts on that?
I don't think that's a wild idea. I don't think people should be against that. I do think people should be adequately compensated for their work. And, you know, if there's a way to further do that, there's probably only a handful of games where you would feel like doing that though. So, I mean, it's not like, it's not some crazy concept here that's going to be like spun out of proportion, but I think people immediately jumped on the idea that Americans are super obsessed with our tipping culture. And, you know, they don't do that in Europe. They think it's stupid. And in a way it kind of is. You could just pay your workers better and then you wouldn't have to tip them at all. But now we have to tip the cashier that has no, you know, they don't even make your coffee. But, you know, because they spun the iPad around to you, now you got to cut them in.
You know what's interesting about that? what's interesting about that is when you do get your coffee, you know, sometimes they skip the tipping part. Like I noticed that some places where I would get the coffee, rather than giving me the option to do the tipping part, they'll skip it just to finish the transaction. What if I wanted to give you $5 or $10, right? And I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing. But if individuals are working extremely hard and we are enjoying some amazing games, and we talk about the games that we enjoy all the time, you know, whether it's a shooter or it's a platformer or what have you. And we've been playing these games for years, right? Why not reach out to an individual who has like a Ko-fi or a Linktree and say, hey, you know what? You know, coffee's on me today. Or, you know, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but I do agree that if you have the opportunity to,
yeah,
to give and bless somebody with a couple of dollars, I don't see anything wrong with that. I'm good. I'm good with that. I think we both agree there. Okay.
I dig it.
So state of the stream, I definitely want to talk about that. What do you think the category is that is performing the best on Twitch right now? If you were to say, what's the category you would give it to? If you were to say, what would you give it to?
My guess,
you know,
unless it's a video game.
You are a winner. Okay. You are a winner. Okay.
Is it? So, oh my God.
249 million. Yeah. You got it.
No way.
249 million.
Oh, so Grand Theft Auto
is next on the list in the League of Legends, then Valorant, CSGO, Fortnite, Dota, Apex, Call of Duty, and Overwatch at the end. Okay. So that's where we are. So just chatting is doing really, really well. And in terms of the numbers, I'm going to go back. I'll bring back that chart in a second. I just want to show you this one here.
Yeah.
So it has 1.774 billion in October, and it's now 1.777 currently, well, as of March, right? So a little bit of bump with that. But I'm curious to see if they have any numbers like that when it comes to YouTube stuff. I know this is specifically the Twitch realm, right? But I'm curious to see if they have anything like that related to the YouTube stuff. Yeah. So I know that we've been out of the Twitch world for a little bit. I'll say that. So to what degree are you following or watching anybody on the platform? I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Still have friends that I watch. So yeah, there's the occasional live stream that I tune into.
Are you surprised by this list though? Grand Theft Auto is still up there. Right?
Yeah, that is a little surprising that it's, I always expect Fortnite and League and all these, you know, these other games that I don't quite partake in. I don't really understand the obsession with everything, but I know that battle royales are very, you know, something different happens every time. You can't predict what will happen. So that unpredictability makes it endlessly entertaining to people that enjoy that, right? But yeah, with GTA, I don't know if it's just the role-playing community that's really lifting that up even further, where it's like you have TV shows based on each character, and it's like, oh, we got to see what this lawyer is going to get into in his adventures in Grand Theft Auto, or what this, you know, whatever it is, car salesman, you know, they can do anything in that game now with those role playing tools. And and we also know that Rockstar bought 5M. So now it's like they might implement some of that in future titles in their multiplayer, but it is kind of surprising.
Yeah,
I'm right about just chatting. Like it was like a new category.
Yep.
Only so many years ago where people were like, well, you can't just sit there and talk and, you know, get paid and get subscribers and all these various things happening. And then it blossomed into other things like music and, you know,
right,
the hot
exactly.
tub stuff.
I know, yeah, right.
And the body painting. So it's branched out into a million different things there. But the fact that that has become the highest, I wonder if that will change the way Twitch does business. Maybe they're pivoting a little further away from gaming and deciding that they could do more lifestyle or camera style.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they add some additional resources there, because this is very clear. This is Stream Elements. They produce this particular document, which they've done this for quite some time at this point. So I wouldn't be surprised if Twitch decides to, you know, add some resources in this particular area. And if you think about some of the stars that are known and getting big deals, whether you look at like Kai Cenat and I Show Speed and some of those individuals, and you can see that most of their content, well, so I want to make sure I'm saying this, you know, as accurately as possible. They are talented in what they do, first and foremost, right? So it's one thing to have just chatting, but it's another thing to watch someone who is extremely talented. And yet they provide, you know, guests and different, you know, things that happen on the stream and reaction. They're watching videos. They're breaking down, you know, stuff that's happening in the news. So it's not just someone sitting down, you know, with you know, popcorn and they're just having a conversation with their viewers. It could be. It could be. depending on the individual. Yeah, so
it can be.
I think there's you know, Amaranth, you know, she's been a huge streamer for a long time. I think she's doing stuff on Kick as well now. I don't know if she's still doing stuff on Twitch, but we have a lot of individuals that use that particular category and have done extremely well with that particular content. So shout outs to them, you know, and that is one of their main things that we know of, right? You know, they may have other businesses, of course, but you know, as far as what we see, you know, with Twitch, you know, that's one of the things that we've seen. And of course, when you think about, what do you call the other thing? ASMR, right? Those streams, you know, are those considered just chatting? They might. Unless it has its own category.
Yeah. I mean, right. It might be its own thing.
But you did say something about, so I didn't want to talk about this, but I think we might as well just jump into it because you mentioned, you know, Rockstar, the layoff stuff. You want to touch on that? I think it just makes sense for us to talk about it since you did mention, you know, the Rockstar stuff.
Yeah. I saw that Take-Two was laying off, 5% of
the company? Yeah. So what's your take on that?
Which is unusual.
Is it right? That's what I'm saying.
It's layoffs and it's disappointing. Right. It's upsetting.
And what do you do? You wish everybody well. You hope that, you know, they get another opportunity, you know, extremely soon. And of course, you know, talent usually find, you know, great talent places to show their talent. And that's why we have, you know, games that come out and we have one individual who is a designer at this place. And then next thing you know, they're a major player in another place. And I think we see that all the time. It's always unfortunate. It's not something that you want to talk about because, you know, we don't like seeing people lose opportunity, especially, you know, with their families, you know, depending on how long they've been there. Also with any company, because we've seen layoffs since we've started covering games, right?
Yeah.
Right. We've seen that over the years, right? So it's one of those things where, you know, they've seen, you know, families being born, they've birthday parties, anniversaries and all that stuff. And then, you know, then they're at a place where they're shifting seasons and then they have to leave the company because of the reduction. But aside from that, as I'm thinking about it, GTA Plus, what is that? Because I think that was a big thing too. In the midst of the layoffs, we can't just leave that out, right? In the midst of the layoffs, you gotta talk about it, man.
Yep.
You gotta talk about it, man. Yep. Okay,
no, so in the midst of the layoffs,
you have that.
So that's their subscription service, and they did up the prices recently, didn't they? So it gets you like extra perks and bonuses in the game, and then I think you also get to download some of the other legacy GTA titles. It's like being a member of, you know, Ubisoft Plus or Game Pass or something, but you know, think of it for Rockstar. Yikes. It doesn't look good when you do that, and then you're also on the eve of literally one of the biggest video games like ever. Like GTA 6 is going to reinvent how we make video games, how we react to video games, how we play video games. It's genre defining. It's console generation defining. I'm not speaking out of turn, am I, in saying that it literally is a cultural event when a Grand Theft Auto game drops, whether you like it or not. Right.
No, I definitely agree with that. It changes everything. Mm. And not only does it change everything, it stays for so many years while it's, you know, shifting, you know, culture and, you know, how people are even reenacting the trailers before the game even comes out. Cause I'm sure you saw that, right? I think they recently did that for GTA 6 where they're, you know, their live action reenactment of the trailers that they saw when they first announced the trailer for the game, and people are doing that. So yeah, so GTA has always changed everything, whether it's an election year, it has shifted conversations. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Even back in the day when they were like, well, yeah, these are the reasons why, you know, our children are doing this, that, and the other because of this. You remember? I mean, it was all over the news, man.
Yeah, I was there for all of it. I was like, well, I don't believe what they said on the news.
It's
going to
turn your child into, you know, this thing that you, you don't recognize because of GTA.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's not what does that, right? So we're looking forward to GTA 6. You know, we're pretty sure that it's going to be exciting. We're going to dive into that. And even now, GTA 5 is still one of the most played titles even today, right? And we shouldn't be surprised by that. Because of the story. The story can be its own movie if they do it right. So there's that. And then you also have the online component of that particular title, which is absolutely amazing as well. And I do agree with you, man. It's life changing for a lot of folks, you know, especially, you know, in the world of gaming and even the DLC packs that they introduced, you know, for the titles as well. So there's really nothing wrong you could say about the title. If you understand, you know, the title itself, of course, the ratings and all that stuff. So there was that conversation about it too. You know, how is it supposed to be rated? We're at a place now where we're still playing the title.
And that's, I mean, they made an enduring game that stands the test of time. It's been over 10 years at this point. It's been ported to multiple consoles and multiple generations. It's everywhere at this point. And everyone's, you know, at this point, everyone's probably played it. And I mean, it's only at that point of saturation where it's like, oh, now we should make a sequel, because now it's like we're literally the faucet's running dry. And even as we're seeing there, people are game to watch it on Twitch. Even as much as they've played it themselves or playing it right now, it's still so entertaining and so random and so enduring that people would get on it. But another thing I would point out about that list is if you pull it up again, none of the new games are on there. Like, there's no Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. There's no Dragon's Dogma 2. There's no Helldivers 2. And these are games that are really great. They're selling really well. And they're the talk of the internet. But this gets back to your overall argument of, like, we just want remakes. We just want Call of Duty to be good and fun. We just want to be able to log on Fortnite every night. We just want to be able to play GTA, Overwatch, whatever it is. All these games right here. There isn't really a clamoring for new stuff, or
we don't care
certain sequels. I mean, we kind of just want the old thing again. We don't even want you to make it like refine it into something new. Like, no, we want exactly the old thing.
We don't care, man. We just want it back.
So this is empirical evidence right there for your argument.
We just want what we want, man. Look at it, right? Valorant. Much respect, even though I don't play it. I think it's a dope game. Mm-hmm. League of Legends, of course, right? Because you have the esports and all the stuff that happens with that, and Valorant. Then you have CSGO, of course, you know, OG, right? Fortnite, you know, culture shifter, right? Mm-hmm. Fortnite, Dota, esports, Apex, esports, Call of Duty, Warzone, Legendary, right? Overwatch, you know, work in progress, right? I'm not going to beat it up. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a work in progress, right?
Yeah.
But there's nothing new here. There's nothing new here.
Sure.
There's nothing new here, man.
Interesting.
It is just an observation, man. It is what it is. So next thing that we have, we'll jump right into it, is the EA's Black Panther game will be open world job ad suggests. So I haven't been following this, you know, extremely closely. I think the recent title that we saw with, you know, Captain America and Black Panther and that title, which is, I'm trying to remember the name of it right now, but that's going to be legendary. Mm-hmm. The way they have, you know, the actors acting while they're performing, you know, I think that's going to be legendary, right? Remember that title? What's that title? I'm trying to remember it.
Marvel 1943.
Right. So that's going to be absolutely legendary. So I'm looking forward to that. So this though, what is this? Have you dug into what's happening here?
Mm-hmm. So it's being made by Cliffhanger Games, and it is an open world Black Panther game. We knew it was going to be a Black Panther game, but now we know.
Yeah,
let's open world. So what does that mean? Is that Roman Wakanda?
Yeah, let's see. Like, okay, so let's see what it says here. Part of the job description reads that successful applicants will be instrumental in designing and populating encounters, systems, and gameplay within a dynamic and evolving open world, drawing upon a deep understanding of technical design principles and a passion for creating immersive sandbox experiences. This role demands close collaboration with design teams, AI engineering, and technical art departments to bring our game world to life. Interesting, right? So you kind of get an idea. So you might see some AI generated pictures in there. You might see some, you know, AI generated, you know, sections in the world, if you will. So that's going to be pretty common. I don't think anyone is denying how AI is changing the stuff that we do or say, or how we experience even, you know, content and how we, you know, consume everything with content, right? So it says here, in addition to leaders from those games, Cliffhanger's team includes veterans of franchises, including Halo, God of War, Call of Duty, according to EA. So my thing is like, cool, I'm open for it. No pun intended. Right. No pun intended. Yeah. I'm here for it. Right. We'll see what happens. And we'll just go from there. But Rise of Hydra is definitely, you know, I really want to check that out, man. That looks too good. Too good. Beautiful, okay. Man. It's definitely. Yeah.
Once again, it's Amy Hennig, right? It's someone we know that makes these experiences that's like, dude, she's tried, tested, proven. And now she's coming into comic books. Like,
yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be really interesting. So I'm looking forward to that. So the next thing I want to ask you about is, do you remember Keanu Reeves? I guess the speed scene in the Sonic movie. I don't really remember that, but according to some of the things I was reading earlier, they were saying that that Keanu was almost foreshadowed. No pun intended, for Shadow, right? For this particular, voice, you know, performance, if you want to call it that. So I was like, wait, if that's the case, then I may have to go back and see where they showed Keanu Reeves and the speed, you know, part of the speed movie, you know, back in the day, which movie that they showed that in. Where they literally told us that Keanu Reeves was going to be in the series. Me neither.
I have no idea. I've seen right. Speed, so but I don't
what they're
know
saying
what
is like in the Sonic movie, there is a part where they pay homage to Keanu Reeves in the Sonic movie. So now I have to go back to that and see exactly where they show it. So essentially it's almost like a preview hey, you know, we're literally showing you who is going to be in the world of Sonic next. I don't know if we're surprised by Idris Elba being in there. And it's almost like we shouldn't be surprised that Keanu's in there, because we had a foreshadowing of him because they paid homage to him in the Sonic movie before they announced this thing here. So I'm all for it. I'm going to go back and watch the Sonic movie and see where they did that. I'm definitely going to send you like maybe a timestamp or something like that and say, hey, this is where they talked about Keanu. This is where they showed Keanu. And then we'll see, you know. But in regards to Keanu being here now, Idris Elba's here, right? Jim Carrey's here. Like, how do you feel about that, man? Like, I mean...
Some of those names are people that we don't expect to see in, you know, little animated comedy films and stuff like that. You know, serious actors or big action stars to all of a sudden be doing animated hedgehog voices. It's kind of silly, but it's really cool. And it really speaks to how epic the Sonic movies have become and how they've kind of mentioned that, like, hey, this is kind of the Avengers of the Sonic universe are being formed here. So. We shouldn't be surprised if we see more star power building
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. So I'm excited
this.
For it. I'm definitely going to go back and see the Sonic movie. And there's some documentaries that I'll talk about offline with you. I just definitely want to hear your thoughts on it. Maybe it's something that we can discuss, you know, another show. But with this here, this universe is only going to get better because we are absolutely fans of Sonic. And the first Sonic rendering with the fur, you know, Ugly Sonic. I'm glad Ugly Sonic didn't make it, because we spoke, right? We're not for it, right?
Yeah.
The whole world looked at the first,
No, because Shadow would have looked really ugly, man, if they went with that design.
Can you imagine if they went with, you know? Dude, that would have been horrible, yeah. Bro. Like, so now we have exactly the way they're supposed to look, you know, just paying, you know, extreme dope homage to a series that we've loved growing up. And I'm excited for it, man. I'm excited for it. So the next one is definitely you. I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this. I didn't do too much research on this, but you wanted to talk about this. And I'm like, okay, Aaron wanted to speak about it. We're going to put it in here for the show. Star Wars Outlaws, $110 and $130 editions prompt a collective sigh from potential players tired of season passes and ill-advised early access period. So are these prices the actual, like, are, what is happening here?
Yeah, that's actual prices, because it's $130 for the, and that's in American dollars, you know, it's more if you're Canada or Europe. But yeah, $130 for the Ultimate Edition, which includes, I think, 3-day early access and the Jabba the Hutt DLC or whatever, and probably some costumes and whatever. And I think it expresses a fatigue that, especially with Ubisoft, but also with a lot of studios, where it's like, dude, you're nickeling and diming us for like stuff that should just be in the game. Like Jabba the Hutt, essential Star Wars character. If we're playing a game where we're a bounty hunter, we're members of the criminal underworld, like this guy's the mastermind of that underworld. It would be like coming out with the Jedi Survivor games, you know, that series, and not having Darth Vader and being like, well, if you want to fight Darth Vader, it's $10.99, you know? And it builds up. And that is so much money. We're already struggling, a lot of us, to even adapt to this new $70 price point. And you have multiple games coming out a month. Like, you'll have Final Fantasy and Dragon's Dogma and Rise of the Ronin and a dozen other games. They're priced at $70. And, you know, we're having to make choices, you know, for the year about like, man, how many games can I actually afford to buy? And, you know, can I afford to do something wild like this so I can play an extra 30-minute DLC or whatever it's going to be, right? So, I mean, it is very annoying, and it upsets me, and I wonder, will we actually do anything about it? Are we just going to whine on Twitter for a few days and then buy it when it comes out, no problem? Or wait till Black Friday, wait till it's, you know, $5 10 years from now? I think that's the echo I'm hearing from a lot of PC gamers, is like, well, just wait until it's $2. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, like, it's going to be a good game. I think we kind of see that. A lot of people are making the Red Dead Redemption 2 comparison. You know, this is Red Dead for Star Wars.
You
like,
think it's
how
be
gorgeous
good?
This
you
is. It's massive. Good? You know, we know it should be, but man, I'm worried about performance issues and optimization. That's been such a curse on gaming, especially in the last several years. I think games are either ported to PC or even console stuff on day one. We're just having so many issues with games like that I'm concerned. But it looks like it'll be a great game. And from what we've seen, it looks really great, but I gotta see it once it's actually in people's hands, or more gameplay footage that's not so curated in that Ubisoft way, like the Division trailers and Watch Dogs. Everything is so meticulous and scripted in a way to look really amazing. I want to see what it's like in this bare bones aspect. But yeah, I guess I wonder if this will impact any change, or if players will revolt, and if Ubisoft will put out a press release and say, oh my gosh, we're sorry, let's just do the $70 edition. But it turns out if you sign up to their Ubisoft Plus, you get the Ultimate Edition for only the cost of your monthly subscription to their service. So if you're already part of that, you're good. But if you're not, if you're someone that likes to buy things physical or purchase your games as they come, whether they're digital or not, you're a little out of luck. So I guess it just depends.
I mean, that's fair. $110, $130. I know we have been very fortunate, to, you know, see certain titles or receive certain titles, you know, for review or streaming, you know, options and stuff like that. So we may not necessarily see, and I am just being, you know, very, very, you know, honest in this regard. We may not necessarily see the hit of the $130 or $110 because of the nature of what we do as creators, right? So I'm gonna do that, right? But for those mm-hmm. who will, right? For those who will, this article was published on the 10th of April, 2024. This title is not coming out until when? Later this year, right?
Later this year.
So you have time, right? So let's just do that $5 here, $10 here. You have time if this is the title that you're really looking forward to save to get to the $110, $130, you know, for, you know, your heart's desire to play a title that, you know, and I do agree it's going to be good because most Star Wars titles are good. You know, they're at least a 5 point something, right? Mm-hmm. They're never below that, right? Right. On average, right? So I'm just being fair there. So I think that if this is something that you're looking forward to, and if they do release it at the end of the year and it's not pushed till, you know, I guess, you know, next spring or January or something like that, you have plenty of time to, you know, start, you know, saving and stuff like that. Take advantage of that. And if you are one who is considering, you know, getting into the reviewing and the streaming stuff like that, you may have, you know, that may not even be a number that you're looking at. You know, you just create your content, reach out to a company, and hopefully they'll give mm-hmm. you exactly what you need. So I think there's different ways to choose the next words carefully here. Approach this, right? professionally, and you know, it could be to your benefit.
Sure.
So there's any final thoughts here?
No, I think it makes sense. You know, they're giving you this time, I guess, to save money. I think for the average gamer, it's definitely a concern. And, you know, if that's an addition you want, you either save up for it or you start your protest right. or whatever you 100%. Want to do.
PlayStation, you're the PlayStation guy. I have a PlayStation. I have PlayStation 4. I have a PlayStation 3. I have a 2 somewhere. I do not have a 1 here, but you have PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. What's happening with PlayStation 5 right now? One of the recent things that I did see. Which games will get Sony's PS5 Pro enhanced label? Are you thinking about that? Are you concerned about that? Do you care about what's happening in that particular space? And because you have a PlayStation, you have the floor. You know, this is you. What do you think about it? What's your thoughts on the PlayStation stuff right now? Do you care about a Pro?
I don't do the Pro. I don't do the mid-gen refresh. It's usually such a marginal thing, and it only affects a handful of games, maybe. And developers aren't going to change the entire philosophy of a game just to market to those people there. So it's not like forcing us to upgrade the way an actual new generation does, where it's like, oh, if you want this game, you got to buy the PS6, you know? So to me, it's fine enough to skip unless you're really concerned about resolution or little issues with frame rate. When they introduce stuff like your NVIDIA technologies, you know, we're just now getting into like ray tracing and now path tracing, and you have all the NVIDIA AI stuff that it computes and creates frames and all these things. When those things start hitting consoles, that might be the refresh I would opt into, but I bet that's a PS6 problem. It's not a Pro.
Yeah, I think that we can solve. You know, the fact that there's still games that you need a PlayStation 5 to play. I know we talk about it often enough over the next couple of years. That's not going to be a thing. That's going to be a thing anymore because we're seeing a lot of the games show up on PC. It may get to a point where we see the game get to PC just as fast as they're being released on the actual platform themselves. Maybe that's wishful thinking. I'll just throw that in there because we know how the internet is, right? So Sony's unannounced, but widely expected PlayStation 5 Pro should run games at 60 frames per second with ray tracing upscaled to 4K resolution using the console's fresh PlayStation Spectral Super resolution technology. Now, I have an issue here. It's not a PlayStation issue per se, but the fact that Hellblade 2 is running at 30 frames, you know, and on the Xbox console, I know we didn't talk about that, but the fact that it's locked at 30 at this stage of the game, I know that's a sidebar.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. This is Sony's preferred standard for PlayStation 5 Pro. The Verge reports, though Sony will also allow games to boast of being PS5 Pro enhanced while offering lower frame rates if they still offer a boosted maximum resolution on Pro compared to how the game runs on the vanilla PlayStation 5. Now, honest question here. Do you care about this?
I like running my games.
Okay,
at 60
so we're agreeing.
That's
agreed
the only
in.
Controversy, right?
But someone going into a store to get their game or they're downloading the game. Do you think they're really focusing on that? I know we could say yes. There's a small percentage of individuals who do focus on that. There's an individual who just want their games to come out and they enjoy the game. Not a lot of issues. You know, maybe patching here and there, but overall they want to have a great experience. But when I play games, I guess, you know, the point I'm trying to make here, when I play games, even though we're still playing like a Destiny 2 and a Warframe, you know, I'm playing them at least 60 frames per second. I'm not thinking about the ray tracing and the other things that are technical. I just want to enjoy the game, right? Even Warframe has that new DLC that came out not too long ago. And I'm playing that. I'm enjoying the world and I'm enjoying like the sound effects and everything is like, is so, so wonderful. But I'm not thinking about which is active or not active in the settings, you know, for those things. I know people think about it, but how much of it do you think about when you're playing games? Does it come up at all?
Not really. Cause I mean, once I picked up Dragon's Dogma and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which I think for those Dogma's 30, even though I'm playing it on PC, I think you can crank it, but certain areas won't render well. Cities get a little rough. But with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, it's like they're actually recommending that you play it in the quality mode, which is like 30 with good visuals. And it really, like the way the action plays and the way everything looks, it really doesn't bug you. You forget about it like immediately. So while I might be a stickler, like I love having 60 frames, like at the end of the day, sometimes it doesn't even matter. And sometimes it's not super noticeable.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So
I don't know.
The last section here says a third option allows for a game to be described as PS5 Pro enhanced despite having no frame rate or resolution boost. If its developer enables new ray tracing effects for a visual difference, this too could qualify games for a PS5 Pro enhanced sticker. The report continues, which Sony plans to display on game boxes and on digital store pages. Now for me, totally not related, but I think it's important to have these things, you know, and the podcast and the conversation that we have, because someone does care about this, right? Someone does care about this and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, for me at this point, it seems like I'm probably PC all the way, you know, unless something changes in the future. But that's where we are, with that. But, you know, I think it's a cool thing. My thing with PS5, if I have any like conversations surrounding it or how I feel about the system, is the exclusive stuff, right? I think that's usually the only conversation that makes a difference for individuals who are waiting for a game to release on another platform and PS5 still has it, or maybe Xbox still has it. And you're like, will it ever make its way? Will there ever be like a cross play with, you know, other systems and communities outside of that? But we're seeing Spider-Man go to PC. Miles Morales went to PC. Of course, we expect the other Spider-Man 2 to go to PC at some point. So we're getting to a place where we could just wait and it's okay. And it's okay. We're not necessarily stressed about it. And, you know, we're not going to, you know, cause a ruckus on social media about it. And that's just the nature of some of the things that we're experiencing right now. So there's that. Okay. So we also have Last Ronin. I definitely want to talk to you about that. Is becoming a live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Definitely a big Turtles fan. Any thoughts on that? What's your take there?
I'm excited, man. We know that there's a Last Ronin game in the works. And so now we know that there's a movie also. So, I mean, that's more people that will get invested in that storyline. And it's not something we've seen adapted in movies before. So, I mean, that's the chance to expand and tell that story to a whole new audience. So that's going to be really cool, man. We're going to be crying in the theater.
It's going to be fantastic.
While we're watching that.
You know, it's just, everything that they've done with Turtles, even when you think about, you know, Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which we still enjoy that, you know, quite a bit. It's just a world that not only kept expanding with the characters that we received, but the gameplay is, you know, very arcade, you know, very, you know, drop in, drop out. And it's just an adventure that we continue to enjoy. And I even went back and restarted, you know, the game to play it again, you know, just to, you know, get the stuff again and the power ups and help, you know, the community, you know, asking us to pick up VHS tapes here and other things, you know, around the world and newspaper articles and stuff like that. That game, you know, has done a lot for, you know, the arcade space. Of course, you have Streets of Rage 4, which we still enjoy. And it's those titles, you know, make things like The Last Ronin, something to be excited about, especially if you're a Turtles fan. So any thoughts there?
No, I'm super excited, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to see more.
So Paramount is reportedly developing an R-rated cinematic adaptation of IDW's Last Ronin TMNT comic that will be produced by Walter Hamada and penned by Boy Kills World co-writer Tyler Burton Smith. Okay. And I mean, just the artwork, man, it's just phenomenal, man. It is absolutely phenomenal. So those are my thoughts there. Super excited about anything Turtles. And we're just a big Turtles fans here. Any final thoughts here?
I think as far as the movie and the video games go, we're definitely in an advent of comic book stuff. You know, we had the MCU taking off for a while. We have Marvel Spider-Man 2 that just dropped. And now you got the Black Panther game, the Captain America and Black Panther game, the Iron Man game that Motive Studios working on. You got the Blade game that's in the works, and you got the Last Ronin game. So you're going to have your pick of all your favorite heroes and all your favorite storylines. Truly an interesting time to be a comic
100%, fan. 100%. No matter what. Before we get to the last topic and before we close out, anything on Fallout for you? Have you checked it out yet? I haven't. Have you?
I watched episode one, and it's really good, man. You gotta watch it, dude. I think they did it. Okay, I think they nailed it, man. Yeah, and the way the video adaptation
One of the things I didn't see is $80,000 increase in revenue for a Fallout series since they launched the Fallout TV show this past week. Because they launched it, was that Monday or Tuesday? I think it was Tuesday. Yeah, early this week that they launched it. And, you know, a lot of great reception, and that's the vibe that I'm getting. And also a lot of individuals are jumping into Fallout the game because the TV show is out right now. Last but not least, though, Xbox. Microsoft is bringing its Xbox dashboard to the web with party chat and more. Xbox Cloud Gaming is getting an updated interface with features you'd normally find on an Xbox console. Okay, so now this is interesting because one of the things that they want to do there, it says here, previewing a new Xbox Cloud Gaming interface today. Well, not necessarily today, but that includes the social features and UI you normally find in Xbox dashboard. The new interfaces include access to a web version of Xbox Party Chat, so you can use a browser to join a call with friends and set up a dedicated Xbox desktop and mobile apps. So I think that is pretty cool. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'd like to know a little more, but I mean, that's really interesting because when I went to PC, I pretty much left all that behind, and I have a lot of friends on Xbox, you know, that maybe I haven't talked to in a while that we used to play games every day, whether it's Destiny and raiding and Crucible and trying to do bounties and quests together. This is a really cool feature that once again shows that Xbox is a little more concerned about the wider ecosystem. It's not just about their plastic box. This is prepping for the future of like, hey, we're going to be a prominent force on PC and elsewhere, and of course in the cloud. And we want you to be able to connect with your friends no matter where you are. So if, you know, you're at work or you're wherever you are, you can just jump in that party chat while your boys are playing Call of Duty and be like, hey, man, I'm on the way home. I'm just, you know, typing up this report at work. So you could do all sorts of things with that. I think that's a sign of the times.
So I don't know if the app, I haven't used the app, if it's a big thing, a big deal, but the app on the desktop you know, I'll open that up. And of course, that's where you'd play your mm-hmm. games, you know, on PC. So you could still see who's online and jump in a party chat with them. So I've done that on the PC, even though I'll be playing, the Destiny on mm-hmm. the PC platform and some of my friends are playing it on the Xbox console. I'll do a party chat with them. They have the option of using Discord, but if they're still using the app, I think we could just do it that way. So the way we're able to communicate, you know, it's getting to a seamless place, you know, in my opinion. And I think that we're at a great place where we're seeing a lot of these apps, whether it's your, you know, like a Telegram or WhatsApp or any app that gives you a desktop version, a web version, you know, a mobile app version. We're seeing a lot of those things, you know, across the board. So I definitely agree with you that, you know, this is, you know, a good thing. This is the next step. Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Any final thoughts? Anything that you want to talk about that we didn't talk about that you want to mention before we get out of here?
Oh, have Not you yet. Done the yet, new Destiny content Into the Light? No thoughts on that
I
yet?
Want
oh,
to do
my
it.
God.
Yeah, we'll
have to tease that for next time.
I definitely
time.
Want to do it. That's on the radar for sure. Tough. I did an update earlier today, you know, Tuesday update stuff. But I need to do it because there's some weapons in there that we got to go get.
Yep, we gotta get that blast furnace.
Wait, do you have the new one?
There's other guns in there too, but that's the big one.
Okay,
we gotta jump in and get the new one, man. I okay, need teammates. Right. We gotta all get right. in there,
so,
man.
So let's figure it out. So let me see.
We gotta fight.
Tomorrow night. What's the vibe? Wednesday night. What do you got? What do you got going on? You good? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Wednesday is good. We can go. We gotta defend the tower, man.
So let's do that.
Our enemies are at the gates, man.
Let's
They're attacking.
There's also a pulse rifle for one of the what do you call those things? Dungeon. There's a pulse rifle in the dungeon. I don't know if they rotated that dungeon out. I still need to do that dungeon. So if it's not rotated out, and
oh that's right,
we need to check that out. And of course they launched the Whisper mission that's out now, right?
The Whisper is back. And the Trevor mission is back. Remember Trevor, the little robot that runs through the maze and chases you?
I don't like
that's Outbreak perfected.
I don't like that mission. But it's bad. We gotta figure it out. But that's it for episode 666. Look at that. That number is just right? But Aaron, you know, it was great having you. A great conversation on games. Where can they find you?
You can find me on YouTube, Twitter, everywhere. Aaron Shack, Aaron Shack 64. And you can check out my podcast, The Shackcast, and my website, AaronShack.com.
Yeah, 100%, man. Always a pleasure. You can find me here on this YouTube channel, Andrew Alliance. Definitely like, subscribe. Definitely check out Aaron. I'll put his information in the description below. And until next time, take care.